reading to you from the 6th chapter of Hebrews and with the 4th verse. For in the case of those who once have been enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God in the powers of the age to come and then have fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucified themselves, the Son of God, and put him to open shame. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, you know the rest. I've been sharing Christ ever since. And friends, listen, I wouldn't trade with the President of the United States. Now you say, well, you mean your job is more important than the President of the United States? It certainly is. What? Yes, it is. Because I'm telling people about eternity, eternal truths, and that's what Jesus is. He's the Son of God. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. If you're lost tonight, you can find Jesus if you repent and turn from your sins. Be with you for a half an hour tonight. Won't you kick off your slippers and sit back and just relax and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee or maybe a hot chocolate. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the second chapter, Second Corinthians, the 5th chapter. See, even preachers make mistakes. I want you to go with me through the 17th and 19th verse. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things are come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in the Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Well, friends, listen. The nutshell Bible verses, first of all, is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, my friends, if you just could grasp that, if you're unsaved tonight, just think on that. Read it over and over. And so God so loved the world, put your name in there because he loves you and he died for you. If he didn't die for anybody else, but he died for the sins of the world. And then, of course, the Christian life in a nutshell is found in the 17th verse. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Oh, my friends, listen, when one comes to Christ, all things become as new. Now, you say, well, Cecil, are you sure? Listen, I can sure attest to that. The morning that I went to this preacher's home at 3 o'clock, I was weeping my heart out. I'd lost my wife. Just before that, I'd lost my business. We lost our home. We were desolate. I was destitute. And I told the preacher, I said, I no longer want to live because I said, I've lost the most important thing I've ever had. That was my wife and my kids. And he told me that I didn't have to commit suicide, that I could have a new life in Christ Jesus. Friends, the morning I left that pastor's home and went to my house to try to patch up the problems that we and my wife had, I'll tell you right now, I knew I was a new person. Now, let me tell you something else that you might have a hard time with. The minute I got out in my car and started home, I reached in my pocket and I pulled out a cigarette and I lit it. And I was never so convicted of anything in my life. No preacher told me, I'd never read it in the Bible. All I knew that I was a new creature and I no longer needed cigarettes. Now, this is not strange since trusting Christ brings new birth. You remember when Nicodemus come to Jesus that night and Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus was so religious, and he was a good man. My stars, he was a good man. And he was wealthy, he was well thought of, member of the Sanhedrin, which was pretty tough to get into. And here he is asking Jesus the most important question ever asked, how do I get to heaven? Well, and again, Jesus told old religious Nicodemus that he had to be born again. Now, everybody's born once or you wouldn't be here. Everyone has a physical birth, but that is not enough. Jesus said you must be born twice or born from above. Being born again results in a completely new life. Now, here's a description of what happens after conversion. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. Well, that's exactly what happens. Old things are passed away. Things that we used to do are now fading away. Paul wrote about, from his own personal experience, once he had hoped to destroy the church, and bless his heart, he did it in total ignorance. He thought he was doing God a favor by destroying Christians and destroying the church. But old Saul of Tarsus got his eyes open when Stephen was stoned to death. My stars. He actually held Stephen's coat while those Jews were stoning him to death, throwing rocks on him and killing him. And he says, my, these Christians sure die good. Now he gave his life to starting and building up churches. Now after he was converted, he had a new direction in his life. Friends, let's just pretend. Shut your eyes a minute. Now here we are. We're going down a road. You and I are going down this road. And all of a sudden we come into a fork in the road. Now one of the roads is, the broad road is well lighted. Oh, there's so much. There's bars and there's places of entertainment, dance halls and all these things. But then we take a look to the left, and this road is narrow and rough. And at the end of that road, we see three crosses. Now, the thing is, what I want to ask you, if you are at the cross in the road tonight, do you know what way you want to go? Well, you'd like to go to the left. But boy, the right looks a lot easier. Well, it is easier for a while. But then there's death. And what are you going to say when you stand before the Lord and say, well, you know, I took the wrong fork in the road. I'm sorry, Lord, I took the wrong road. But he said, it's too late, son. You heard a preacher one night on the radio telling you how to get on that rough road that takes to eternal life. Well, the Bible examples of old things that are passed away. The Bible said in Romans 6:7, you were the servants of sin. And in 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, it says, such things were some of you. Then in Ephesians 2:1-3, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Now, friends, when we talk about miracles, and God does perform miracles, he has and he will until the end of time. But I want you to know, when you are born again, that is the greatest miracle ever performed. Even the forming of the world and the stars and the moon and the animals, when he brings you to life, he quickens you, makes you alive in Jesus, and that means you can have eternal, everlasting life. That means at the end of Christ's journey on this earth, you have a mansion. Now, many times I've said, boy, I do not know what that mansion is, but I will tell you, there is one for everyone who puts their trust in Christ. Every one of us has a mansion who knows Jesus. The Christian life is a changed life, and this change is evident to all. Something is wrong if nothing changes you when you say you've been born again. Hey, you know what? Over the many, many years, I've been preaching in prisons to women and men, and also to rescue missions. And I've had men and I've had women inmates say to me, Cecil, I prayed that sinner's prayer 1,000 times. Well, you can only pray it once. What? That's right. When you are born again, that's the last time you have to worry. Oh, you can pray, and you should pray to forgive sins that you've committed since you've been a Christian. That's why I said if we confess our sins to Him, He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. So if you've sinned, you should, like if you've done something wrong, you should go to the Lord and tell Him what you did. You might have been something, did a dishonest deal or something a little shady. You should, when the Holy Spirit, when He will convict you of it, you ask Him to forgive you. And He said He would. Now that's to the Christian. But if nothing changes in your life after you prayed the sinner's prayer, then you don't have it. Because, what does it say? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have become new. Now that's what happens. You have a new heart. Like it says in the scriptures, I take away your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And you are changed from the inside out. Well, let me tell you quickly. A man walked into my office when I was the executive director of the mission in Grand Forks, North Dakota. I'd been to dinner with him and a group of men. They were alcoholics who were sober without Christ. Otherwise, they were just, they weren't drinking, but they didn't know Jesus. He asked me to take him out to one of his ranches. And I got him in the car, and we drove out to this beautiful, oh my stars, what a beautiful home. It was in a bunch of cottonwood trees surrounding the house. You couldn't see the house until you drove in the driveway. And we walked in this beautiful, refurbished farmhouse. He walked toward the refrigerator. He pulled the door open. He pulled out a fifth of whiskey. He got a water glass, and he poured it to the top. And he chug-a-lugged it. He drank it. And he said, Cecil, I'm an alcoholic. I said, I would not be a bit surprised. He said, let's go in and sit down and talk. So I went in there, and he said, you don't know who I am. I said, no, I know of you, but I don't know who you are, what you do, or nothing. He said, I'm the most wealthy man in Grand Forks, North Dakota. He said, I own apartments, I own buildings, I own ranches, I own this, I own that. I just gave $75,000 to the First Lutheran Church to buy a new organ. And then he broke down and started to cry. But he said, Cecil, I'm the most miserable man in the world. I said, well, son, let me tell you what I would do if I were you. I'd get down on my bony knees right beside this hassock, and I'd tell God exactly what you told me and tell Him you're sorry. And invite Him into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. And that's what he did. He cried out, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, friends, the next time I saw him, he owned a most beautiful home in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Guess what he had in there? He had a big baby grand piano. His wife had a complete room for a conditioned room for her furs. He was teaching winos and alcoholics about Jesus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. That's what happened to him. See, that's why we know that he was saved. Behold, all things are become new. The departure of old things does not signal a vacuum, but a victory. Trusting in Christ gives a new start. Sins are forgiven. In 2 Corinthians 6:11, our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide. Being born again brings a new purpose of living. The Philippians tell you about receiving Jesus as Savior means a believer has a new destination. What is that destination? Heaven. Become a Christian provides a new outlook on life. And boy, that's so true. My, I'm driving down the highway a few weeks after I accepted Jesus, and I started laughing out loud. I'll bet if someone drove by that car, they thought that guy dinging a fruitcake. You know why I was laughing? Because I had $5 in my pocket, and I was sober. Oh, friends, that might not mean much to you, but it did to me. It showed me that Jesus was real when he said that he would cast my sin in a sea of forgetfulness, and he would deliver me from the curse of alcoholism. Not how much we can get, but how much we can give. Not how much, not many at the bar, but how many at the altar. Not how much prestige, but how much power in prayer. Not a life based on lust, but a life based on love for believers and the lost. See, the foundation of all things is found in the 18th verse. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. All things are of God. Oh, listen, Romans 8:28. This is the hardest verse of Scripture in the whole Bible. All things work together for our good, fulfilling God's purpose for those who love him. Now, boy, you know what? As a Christian, we go through trials and tribulations. We sure do. There's nowhere in the Bible guarantee that once you accept Jesus, you'll never be sick, and you'll always be rich, and you'll always be happy. There's nowhere in the Bible says that. In fact, it said you will have trials and tribulations. So that's why it says in Romans, all things work together for the good. You know what? You know why I'm effective working with prisoners and inmates and people in missions? Because I was there. Because I was a no-good alcoholic. And I know what they have been through, and they know that what I'm telling I've been through, but I tell them there's an answer. There's light at the end of the tunnel. We have nothing to boast about, for all that we receive or achieve is from the Lord. Everything I've got comes from the Lord. We have nothing to fret about, for he cares for us and holds our futures in his hands. We have no need to get revenge for wrongs, for God ultimately makes everything right. Now, faith in Christ reconciles us to God. Read that 18th verse again. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. See, Jesus has to be in the midst of it. He can't come to the Father except by Jesus. This is the greatest love story ever told in this world. Oh, I've told you many times when Tom Baird that morning recited John 3:16 to me. I recall as a little boy on my mama's knee, and my sister and mama had the big old family altar Bible out, and she told us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life." I said, "Preacher, oh, how many times I heard my mom read that to me and my sister before she died." See, guilty sinners are reconciled to God, and he gives them new life. New people want others to be made new, too. once headed for heaven, will want others to go there too. Friends, this is the one thing I admire about Reverend Tom Baird. He's in glory today. Was the fact that he kept telling me, Cecil, the best way to be happy in the Lord is to go out and introduce people to Jesus. I've done that for the past 51 years. And my wife and I, the other day after breakfast, we were sitting in the family room. We were talking about how many times God led us through some real troubled times. And I still don't see how he did it. But he did. He led us every step of the way. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and say, hey, I've always done things pleasing to the Lord, because I know I haven't. But I've tried. Friends, listen, tonight, this might be the last time in your life that you'll ever hear an invitation to put your trust in Jesus. Do you realize that? This could be the very last time. Boast not yourself tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow brings. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, tonight, you're saying, Cecil, I don't know. I really don't know what I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Do you want to know? You say, yes, I do. All right. If the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart, and he certainly is, if you're sincere about wanting to go to heaven, he's tugging at your heart, and he wants you to pray this prayer from the bottom of your heart. And this is how the prayer goes. And please, beloved, don't pray this prayer unless you really mean it. And here's how the prayer goes. Dear Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. And I do admit I'm a sinner. And Lord, tonight, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, won't you get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now, I've been doing this for, 35, 40 years on the radio, begging people to come to Christ, and I'll continue to beg people to come to Christ until he takes me home. Well, friends, if you trusted him, won't you call me right now? We'll have a word of prayer. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, friends, for listening. Listen, I've got a special prayer request tonight. My wife and I have put in for a grant to start a work for women getting out of prison. And I know it's a huge undertaking, but it's a need in our city. It's a need in every major city in America. There's very little ministries for women. It's always for the men. And I don't think that's right. So you pray, they told us. We talked to them the other day, and they said that we'll get the grant, but when I get the check, then I'll know that it's legal and for sure. So do pray for that ministry. And we've already got a pastor and his wife, and we've got workers that's ready to step in and go to work. Pray for my health and my wife's health that we'll be able to do these jobs. I know at 82 it's a little kind of late in life to do things, but shoot, look at the Bible, look at the old people in the Old Testament, and the Moses, he didn't start out his ministry really till he was almost 80. Well, listen, friends, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.